There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is the voice of the iceberg. I'm Alison Balance, and in this four-part audio adventure from RNZ, we join artist Joseph Michael and his team on an expedition to the Antarctic Peninsula. They're recording photos, film, and audio of icebergs that will be projected onto landmark buildings around the world, creating virtual bergs that will creak and fizz and thunder. Part 1. Discovery.
I'm Joseph Michael. I'm a media artist. I guess all my projects tend to start and possibly finish in photography. This is my first trip to Antarctica. And once I started researching the different places to visit and some of the icebergs, I guess it became a bit of an addiction.
Joseph and his team of eight travelled to Antarctica by boat from the bottom tip of South America. From there, it's a 1,000-kilometre journey south across the Drake Passage and some of the roughest seas on the planet.
Prior to sailing the Drake Passage, I'd spent, I think, one night at sea, so I hadn't been very far off the coast. It was the first time I saw that deep royal blue of the deep ocean.
The expedition is in the safe hands of an Antarctic veteran.
I'm Roger Wallace. I'm the skipper of the Australis. The Australis is 75 feet long. It's built of steel, it's a masthead cutter, and we use it in the Antarctic. I think this is probably the 19th year, consecutive year, I guess, I've been doing it now. And I'm still as enthusiastic as ever about it, really.
As you know, the weather's not really ideal. It's far from ideal. It's about 40, 50 knots tonight, and there will be apparently 10 metre seas. Yeah, 10 metre seas in Drake Passage on the shallow water south of the Horn, there's no joke. So, yeah, we'll just be delaying our departure a little bit. In terms of the Drake Passage, we had maybe 7 to 8 metre swells. And, yeah, it's unsettling at first. It feels like you're in a washing machine or a roller coaster. What's most unsettling is it's uncontrollable, you just can't stop the rocking.
I'm Ryan McNeil. I'm a director, producer, and more recently, a behind-the-scenes audio guy. Main challenges for me, the first one that I wasn't aware of was obviously motion sickness. I've always sort of prided myself as someone who travels pretty well. On this boat, we quickly found out that the rolling seas of the Drake Passage were pretty formidable. It was the most fascinating thing. I've never seen such excitement just taken over by sickness. Joe always tells a story of me. He woke up one night and he heard this noise, this banging noise, and he was like, what the hell is that? Are we hitting an iceberg or something? And it was repetitive. Donk, donk, donk. And he puts his little head lamp on, and he looks over in my direction, and it's my head hitting the steel hull back and forth with the motion of the waves. And I was just so zonked.
After a day or so, you sort of, you just start to become comfortable in the environment. the waves, for example, at first it felt strange, but they slowly almost become mountain-like features, and maybe it was just me using that analogy, but when I was thinking of them as mountains, I felt a lot more comfortable.
I'm mesmerised by this bow wave, which Simon's capturing at 90 frames a second. It's going to look beautiful.
Once you start to see the movement of the ocean, and especially with what it presented in terms of photography, I started doing long exposure photographs, tracking the waves as they came down, and we had the slow motion cameras capturing things. And I remember one day I was trying to capture, as the waves were peaking, this kind of rolling over, and in that white there was kind of this iridescent greeny blue colour that I was trying to capture on my camera. Then all of a sudden a whale came right up in the middle of my frame. And so it's events like that. The fear goes away and you just become more excited about the opportunity you have.
My name's Nick Flubier. I'm a film and television production grip. So I work with camera, and I'm also heavily involved with alpine climbing and ice climbing and rock climbing. We first encountered albatross crossing the Drake Passage, and my way of combating any nausea on the trip was to get up on deck and spend a lot of time in the wheelhouse and watched many albatross gliding and soaring the swells. And they don't flap their wings. I think for me, that was the first animal I saw down there, was watching them soaring around, imagining their thousands of kilometre journey around the continent. And then we encountered dolphin. They would play around the bow, and they were really reactive to our excitement and us clapping and hooting. And it seemed the more we did that, the more they would play and do backflips and jump out of the water.
It's a surreal landscape that you find yourself coming across. First night we arrived, we saw a few icebergs, and it was very grey. It was a dark, dark, dismal evening. And we found this quiet spot to park in, but in the whole of Antarctica, there's obviously there's different spots, and we found that there was another boat that was using the mooring that we intended to stay in. So we had to then shift from there. Because the distances are so huge, it was literally, I think, 7 hours to the next point where we could anchor. So at 11 o'clock at night, as it was getting dark, we had to go back out into the ocean and travel south. And it turned out to be a snowstorm. So we strapped a light to the front of the boat, and we were literally ticking along slowly, trying to dodge the icebergs in amongst the snowstorm. So that was our welcome. I think the real beginning was that next morning when I saw the guys wake up. I remember Jeff's face, and it wasn't so impressive looking at the landscape, it was impressive looking at the expression on his face. His mouth was just wide open. He was just gobsmacked looking at the landscape.
That first morning, we woke up in Scunthorpe Cove, I think it was. It was mill pond, still mirror water, surrounded by terminal faces and glaciers rolling down into the ocean. I mean, this is something I'd seen before in photos. I guess I don't know what I had expected. I knew that I was going to a place which would make some of our New Zealand landscape look quite small. I don't think I'd expected to be struck by, there's this sense of strangeness looking up to the mountains and feeling like you're in the high Alps, but turning around and then looking out to the horizon at sea level was a very strange thing to see for the first time. looking at glaciers and hearing seagulls and seals. And that meeting of ocean and what seems to be alpine is a really interesting place to be for the first time, and that's what struck me most.
One two.
Hello, hello. We are just piling into the tender.
We're about to go and have a look at some icebergs. First time, which is quite exciting. It's a beautiful day.
There's some quite nice ones, like straight out there.
Yeah, it'd be nice just to get a few under our belt. And then process them and see how they come together. It took a lot longer to get here than we were hoping. It was about five and a half days to get here. We thought it was going to be three and a half. So it'd be nice just to start getting a few icebergs.
There was a lot of brash ice floating. And brash ice is the small broken bits of ice. So it really was a sea of brash ice. We headed out and motored through this brash ice and made our way to somewhere where icebergs congregate. There's a lot of cemeteries, I guess they call them, where icebergs go, and they get eddied into bays and areas where the currents pull them. So when we find icebergs, we tend to find quite a lot in one place. And motoring around those places is quite something serene. You know, everyone's quite silent. There's not a lot of talking. Everyone's in their own little moment, looking at those icebergs for the first time, feeling quite small.
Wow. Look at this big crevasse thing, a cave in the middle. Feels like you're dreaming, hey? It's a beautiful looking berg. Oh, look down the side there too, Thomas. That shape and colour along there will look really good on a building.
Deakins, it was the first big one that we saw, and it had this huge crack down the side of it. It's weird, it's not a crack in the sense of a crack in the ice, but it had this line of granite, which looked like a lightning strike through the middle of it. And so it was quite an interesting berg to look at. And as we came round to the other side, it had this beautiful turquoise looking pool that was, kind of a Caribbean color pool. And it had these streams of water coming off the side of it.
Cavey.
I suppose
yeah.
That looks
cavey. Even the noise of the water is great, hey?
Deakins was the first time that I had my audio equipment on me, and I had the headphones on. Of course, everyone can hear what they can hear, but I had this boom pole, and the ability to hear amplified sound and signature of this iceberg. And in that very instance, I realise that these things, they have their own voice, which is something we never expected. But we realise these bergs sort of have a sound as variant as the snowflakes that create them. It's insane.
I'm Mark Michel, and I help produce the expedition to Antarctica, and had the glorious opportunity to record the sounds of Antarctica as a sound recorder's down there. Joe called back and said, Mitch, you've got to get on a boat. You've got to get out here and have a listen to what's happening. So we got out to this first iceberg, Deakins, and it was quite a beautiful iceberg. Not huge, but it was quite a stunner, as they all were, to be fair. And once I got out there on the inflatable and I started recording with a wide stereo microphone, I started hearing this scraping noise. It was quite coarse, and I was starting to question whether my equipment was phasing. I did a few quick checks and realised, no, that's exactly what I'm hearing. And it was the sound of the ocean. There was a bit of a swell, and it was the sound of the ocean lapping against the side of this iceberg. Creating this really sandpaper type effect, almost like a velvety sandpaper sonic, where there was this beautiful scraping noise, but really pleasing to the ear. So that was the first one we came across, and from there they really just got more exciting and interesting and nuanced.
Yeah, that was a real discovery, the sound recordings. I knew I wanted to take a sound recorder down and I wanted to record the environment, but I had no idea the variety of sounds that we would get when we were down there and how different each iceberg would be. That was kind of mind-blowing how, as different as each image is photographically, the sound of an iceberg, each iceberg is very different.
When we first got down there, I was trying to get recordings off the boat, and that was quite challenging, especially when there was quite dramatic and interesting things happening early on around some calving and some really incredible activity on the ice itself, which would often be punctuated by hoops and rahs and a lot of excitement from the crew. So what I started doing is waiting till everybody was asleep and doing recordings at night. And what that gave me the ability to do also was to have a dead ship, because there's a generator running most of the time on the boat, as well as a motor, of course, when we're moving around.
It was the noise of the Gardner engine on the Australis. They're beautiful and wonderful Australis, but the engine and the thing, the sound of the Gardner to Roger is just like a symphony.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with the Gardner engine. You can't do better than a Gardner engine. It's a very slow revving engine. It only does about 880 revs, and that gives us about 8 or 9 knots in pretty much any conditions.
It seemed to be of a frequency that would just drown or cut through any bit of dialogue or anything near the boat that you were trying to capture. That was one thing. And then there's also the fresh water maker, the desalinator, and that was just, it was obviously very, very necessary. Both things are very necessary, an engine for one and a fresh water maker. And they just have the most monotonous sounds.
To actually get away from everybody, what I ended up doing is initially being taken out by the member of the crew, and then in the end just taking out one of the tenders by myself. So I would go off often, would Joe and the team would map one of these icebergs, and then they'd move away so that I could do a bit of a reconnaissance of the iceberg myself, and I could take my time and experiment with the different sounds from each side or depending on the nature of the iceberg. And often later in the journey as well, I was able to go off and just disappear for a few hours or a day and just go hunting for icebergs, and that was really beneficial, of course, getting away from all that excitement on the boat. And I didn't want to be the guy that's always asking everybody to be quiet all the time. So that was a pretty bittersweet scenario. I wanted to be around people and to enjoy that experience, but I really had to isolate myself for long periods of time so that I could really sit with what I was hearing, be really attuned to that, and not be distracted sonically by what was happening around me.
there were times of absolute peace when we were anchored for the night or for a day or two in the most beautiful little anchorages, Scunthorpe Bay or Waddington Bay, of course. Just beautiful places to switch everything off and be so peaceful. One night Mitch got the hydrophone over the side and put it in once we'd all gone to bed. For the first time I heard this noise the next day, and I thought we all presumed, oh, it's a whale or something, but it were leopard seals playing around the hull, and they make the most intriguing sound, the most amazing, beautiful song. And I had no idea that they even did that. So, you know, there's noise going on everywhere, just whether or not your mic's picking it up.
That was Discovery, part one of Voice of the Iceberg. You heard from Joseph Michael, Ryan McNeil, Mark Michel, aka Mitch, Nick Fluvier, and skipper Roger Wallace. The Voice of the Iceberg podcast series was produced and edited for RNZ by me, Alison Balance, with field audio from Ryan McNeil and Mark Michel, and sound engineering by Mark Chesterman. Music by Rhiann Sheehan was composed for Antarctica, While You Were Sleeping, an exhibition projecting a digital iceberg onto the exterior of the Auckland War Memorial Museum as part of the 2017 Auckland Arts Festival. You can find photos of Deakins and all the icebergs at rnz.co.nz/iceberg. You'll be able to download all four episodes from there, or you can find the series on iTunes and Spotify. Please, if you've enjoyed this, spread the word, share it with friends, and do rate us. Cheers for that. And if you want to stick around for another 30 seconds, here is some of the audio you'll be hearing in part two of Voice of the Iceberg, Revelation, when we meet the iceberg's Yoko and Valentine.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.